This is actually a prophetic word. It's amazing some of these revelations the Lord's given years and years and years ago. This was 15 years ago, but how advances up to where we are and how it pertains to where we are and how relevant it is. Matthew 19. We'll start in Matthew 19. We're going to talk about the generation, say generation of inheritance. We have a message of inheritance here. Just because you're in the wilderness does not take away your message. Children of Israel were given the message of a promised land that would be given by inheritance. They rejected the word of God. They did not apply faith and they did not go in. That whole generation died off. And then Joshua brought the sons and daughters in. Amen. But we have a word of the Lord for inheritance. We are a generation of inheritance. We are a generation that will inherit the promises. Amen. We're going to look at the rich young ruler today. We're going to look at him in the light we've taught. Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, good master. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I mean, it was remarkable the way the Lord, I mean, you think like the Lord would be nice to this guy. It sounded like nice enough, didn't it? I mean, the Lord just, this is Jesus, by the way. Sweet. What would Jesus do, bracelet? He said, and why callest me thou good? There's none good but one, even God. But if you will enter life, keep the commandments. You know why he said that? You know why the Lord immediately discerned that that man had been running in circles all his life. Flattering. Those were words of flattery. Those weren't words of honor, of humility, saying good master. Those were words of flattery. He'd been running in high circles. That man used to get what he wants through flattery, and the Lord was going to have none of it. Because he settled it right there. He says, we're not going any further with that because that's not going to move me. That's why he dealt with him that way. He goes, why callest thou me good? And he said unto him, he goes, you know the commandments. And then he said, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And he lists the commandments there. And then verse 20. The young man said unto him, all these things I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? That ought to tell you right there the state of that man. All these things I've kept. Everything about his relationship with God was about what he was doing. He was a doer. Say a doer. He was a man of works and he was a doer and he was highly sufficient in his own capabilities. And he was looking for position because he sees someone here with a lot more power than he has, with a lot more influence than he has. And he sees this and he wants that influence and he wants that power and he's used to getting what he wants. He's a rich young ruler. If you have money and lots of it in this church, don't worry. Your money is saved. People start trembling when you start talking about, I can't wait for the day because I've asked the Lord, Lord, put me in the room of millionaires and let me teach this. So I can just watch them squirm a little bit. And then I'll give them the revelation and then they'll get set free. He said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, if thou will be perfect. Now notice, when he asked him, what good thing shall I have the eternal life? He's still dealing with him under the law. He says, you know the commandments, keep them. He's dealing under the law. He never, ever mentioned giving until that man asked him, all these things I've done, what do I lack? He asked the Lord, what do I lack? What's lacking? And the Lord obviously discerned there was something lacking there in his generosity. And he said, if I will be perfect, say perfect. There's a difference between being saved and being perfect or mature with God. Your salvations of grace, perfection comes from following the Lord. Amen. He says, y'all be perfect. Go and sell all that you have. Boy, that's a hard saying, isn't it not? Go and sell all that you have. He probably was thinking, why did I even ask him? Why didn't I just stop at what must I do to be saved? What must I do for that eternal life? I should have stopped right there. You have to understand, when you start pressing into God, it starts costing your life. God will take you as far as you want to go, and he'll let you stay wherever you want to stay. Have you ever noticed that? He's not going to make you do anything. You want to turn around and go serve the world, he will let you turn around. If he didn't stop Adam, and if there's anybody God should have stopped, if God should have stood right in front of his free moral agency will and just stopped him on the spot from eating, and Eve, God should have stopped him. He's not going to stop Adam. He's not going to stop you. Amen. So Jesus said, if you'll be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And I shall have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, notice what he said. He says, you'll have treasure in heaven. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He should have stuck around. That's the problem when you only get part of God's word. He didn't stay around long enough for the Lord to finish. A lot of times when people get on the threshold of their greatest breakthrough, they encounter a situation that's disconcerting to them or it's uncomfortable and they turn away right before God brings them to the next level. Imagine if he would have stuck around to hear what the Lord had to say next. Because the Lord didn't ask everybody to follow him. He was going to make this man an apostle. He said, come and follow me. Give all that you have. He says, because what got you where you are is not going to get you where you're going to be in me. The way you got to where you are, exerting influence in the world and the system, is not how we're going to do it. So let's just start right now, leave all that. Because he had to get him to break, to train him to be an apostle. What do you think he would have probably trained him in? I'll tell you, because we're going to find out here in a minute what he was going to train him in. He's going to train him to be a financial apostle, and the man walked away from it. He turned around because he couldn't leave his lifestyle. But he didn't realize God could train him in a much greater place. The things we learn in the world system is not the way the kingdom does it. Amen? He was going to train him on how to do it in the kingdom. Amen? He knew he had to get away from his own sufficiency, and he couldn't do it. He went away sorrowful. Oh, that man, say, well, did he make it to heaven? He probably did. Because last time I checked, you can't buy your way into heaven. The offering was not a matter whether he made it, I'll show that to you in a minute. But he's a very sorrowful man when he went into heaven and saw what he could have been, and he walked away from it. Amen. The young man heard that saying and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Listen, God didn't ask everybody to do that. He wasn't going to ask that man to do it until he started pressing in. Amen. Now here's where the juice is. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, truly I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. Say, the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Oh boy. Now he's lighting on the disciples here. Now he's untouching. Peter had a fishing franchise. I mean, they're following him. They go, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Whoa, the disciples, they even jumped into this one. They were just spectators at this point, but now they're right up in the middle of it. And he answered Peter and said, and the disciples heard it, verse 25, and were exceedingly amazed. You know what exceedingly amazed is? Shocked. They were shocked. Wait a minute. We are following you. Say you didn't say that. Everyone say, say you didn't say it. He said it, but they didn't understand what he meant. And that happened often with the Lord. He would say something and people would interpret it through their own understanding. So they would misunderstand what he's saying, but he said it. All right. We'll get back to what he said here in a minute. I'm really glad Peter asked this question. His disciples heard it and they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them, you could probably add in compassion, and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Notice what he didn't say. He did not say, with rich men, this is impossible. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, you can't possibly understand the revelation of what the Lord's talking about without understanding the laws of meditation. Because you take those verses and try to build a revelation from it without the laws of meditation, you will not understand what's going on here. The laws of meditation is always when the Lord begins something, you got to find where he ends. You can't just take it right in the middle. That's what happens. You see two verses and you're trying to find out what he's saying. But those two verses are not enough. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man entering the kingdom of God. I mean, full gospel Pentecostal holiness churches will take those bony fingers and they will just ride that verse. Verse 27. Then answered Peter, say Peter, said to them, behold. Because what did he say? The Lord said, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible, because it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that rich man didn't forsake all. And then Peter jumps up with his chest out and says, behold, we've forsaken all. We're not like him. What do we get out of it? That's pretty much what he's asking. Well, since Peter asked the question, which he always did, that's what God raised Peter up for, to ask all the questions you and I want to ask. All we got to do is get in on his answers, and we remain wise. Amen? So Peter said, what do we get out of it? And Jesus said to them, you that have followed me in the regeneration of the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory and sit upon 12 thrones. You know, there are 12 thrones in the midst of his throne. There's a lot of stuff going on in heaven. There's a lot of stuff we're going to get to understand when we get there. There's 12 separate thrones in the midst of his throne. 12 individual thrones encompassing a corporate throne. He's promised one for everyone that will follow him. I mean, he's just going with them at this point. I'll show you what I mean in a minute. And everyone that has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, fathers, mother, wives, children, and lands for my name's sake, he'll receive 100-fold. There is 100-fold for those who walk with God. It is an inheritance. It's a portion to the people of God that follow the Lord. And you'll receive everlasting life. So he says you're going to receive here and you're going to receive there. Say we're going to receive here, we're going to receive there. Now I want to back up for a minute and get back into his question. The rich young ruler, in particular the Lord's answer. Because when the rich man went away sorrowful, I want you to see something. Jesus' answer to that was, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. What do you do with a verse like that? I tell you, it's easy for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then he was about to start talking about what he's talking about. But then the disciples, they get exceedingly shocked. So they start interjecting questions that gets him off of his subject. Because he wasn't through. Say, he wasn't through. Well, how do you know that? Okay, ready? We're going to pick up where the Lord left off. So Matthew 19, verse 23 and 30 says, then let's just read that and look at Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven. Did he change the subject? Look, King James put in chapter and verse. Jesus didn't go and say, okay, we are now in Matthew 19, verse 23. And then when he changes, he goes, now we're in Matthew verse 20, verse 1. Chapter 20, verse 1. He didn't do that. They put that in. Now, if we take out the interruption of the disciples, the ones that were exceedingly shocked, and let's just say they didn't interrupt at all, let's just read it the way the Lord would have continued to say it without their interruption. Amen. So let's read it like that. Matthew 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven a rich man cannot enter into operates like this. Don't you think? I guarantee it. That rich man, if he made it to heaven, which I think he did, when he sees that, what he missed, when he walked out, he's got to live with that. Because he didn't get the rest of the teaching. He walked out in the middle of it. Now, let's just get this one so the rich people can stop squirming. Let's get this out. He wasn't talking about, now listen very carefully, when he said it's easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He was not talking about the kingdom of God there. He was talking about the operation of the kingdom here. Because he goes on to talk about a vineyard. He's talking about the kingdom here. He says, how hard can a rich man do things my way? It's easier for that camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man. Now, most people understand what the eye of the needle is. It was an inner gate in Jerusalem. And when they would close the outer gate, it was shaped in the form of a, like an oval camel's humpback. And what they would do, it was the inner gates at night when they closed the gate, they'd have travelers come in and they'd have to get through the gate, but they weren't going to have it wide open. So what they would do, it was a small gate, and they'd have to get the camel down on his knees, say down on his knees. He wasn't enough. He couldn't squeeze all the stuff on his back through the gate. He had to get on his knees. He had to remove all of the camel ladency, all the baggage, say the baggage, all the weights. And they're going to get him on his knees and they would pull him through that gate. And then he would merge into Jerusalem. This was the imagery the Lord was using. It's easier for that camel to unload his stuff and get on his knees, say on the knees, than for a rich man to do it. Didn't say he couldn't. It's just more difficult. Because generally, just like that rich man, what got him where he wasn't principles of the kingdom. He was accustomed to influence. He was accustomed to flattery. He did things the world's way, and that's why the Lord rebuked him right from the beginning. Don't call me good. Don't even start with me with that. That doesn't work with me. Stop. I mean, it's a shock to him because he's used to flattering everybody. He's used to everyone's respect, and the Lord didn't give it to him. Said, it's easier for that camel to get through that eye of the needle than the rich man because he doesn't know how to unload. Because most of the time, when he's talking rich, he's talking rich. Say rich. Very rich. Most of the time, they got it the world's way. Had he done what the Lord told him, the Lord wasn't going to take it away from him. He was going to teach him how to operate in the kingdom. He limited his own self because he couldn't walk away from what he had to follow God. That's what the Lord's teaching, say inheritance. He wanted to teach him about inheritance. How hardly can they enter the kingdom, how it works. You have the kingdom of heaven in heaven. You have the kingdom of heaven on the earth. A lot of times your Bible's speaking about the kingdom of God. It's talking about kingdom of God here. The kingdom of God operates like this. Kingdom of God operates like that. He's talking about the kingdom here. So the disciples interrupt because they ask him, well, then who can be saved? He goes, well, men. He didn't say with rich men. He said with men, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible because I'm paying the price for you. He shifts to their question. He shifts down, but then he goes right back to where he's going. He answers the question. He said, are we done? Are you through? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you got I'm just not great at counseling because I like to get somewhere. I like to get over the hill. And sometimes I kind of know what they're going to say before they say it. And I'm trying to be nice, but sometimes I like to just fast forward through that part. You know what I'm saying? You've been in a conversation with somebody and you want to go somewhere, but they keep taking you somewhere else. Has that ever happened or I'm the only one that ever happens to? And what do? The polite person you are, you follow them and say, okay, let's go back over here. You ever done that? That's what the Lord was doing. Okay, we'll go your way, but I want to go this way. It was a redirect. When he finished their question, he went right back to his train of thought. Because he hadn't finished yet. They shouldn't have put Matthew 20 verse 1 right there. It should have been part of Matthew 19. So, knowing this eye of the needle, there's some things entailing there, squeezing. Parts of you are not going through. Parts of your life are not going through. Your old man is not going through that gate. And you're only going to go through on your knees. Pride is not going through that gate. Human sufficiency not going through that gate. When it comes to operating the kingdom, there's a lot of things you're going to stay outside the gate. You're going in, the new man's going in. Say the new man. It's the same gate, really, as the door you got to go through. The old man's left on the outside. The new man's going through the gate. Amen. Now let's look at what the rich young ruler should have heard him say. Man, I wish he would have got it. You know why? Because he could have probably caught the mind of God for apostolic inheritance. Could have been a king with a Lord. No telling what he would have done in the early church. He missed his calling. And I'll tell you what I believe. God put that calling on a church instead, the Macedonian church. And the Macedonians, especially the church of Philippi, picked up the mantle. And they became the support system of grace. Say grace. It was the grace of God that fell on them that caused them to be the support system for the apostles. Gaius, Epaphroditus, Lydia, all of them came out of there. Very powerful stewards of the Lord. That's what the book of Philippians was about. Paul's thank you to them. Amen. God put that grace on a church. might do it again. The thing about the kingdom, the inheritance comes by grace, not works. If it be of grace, it cannot be of works. So I want you to look at this, because this parable tells us a lot about what God's about to do. We are a generation, by the way. Not only this was a now parable for them, it was a parable for us. I'm quite sure we're not in the 6 o'clock hour in the morning. I'm just throwing some stuff out there, like Benjamin is your position, Judah is your function. That is a huge revelation to understand position and function. Amen? So, let's pick this up, Matthew 20, verse 1. It's easier for a rich man. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, my ways. For the rich man, the kingdom of God, the rich man's going to have a lot of difficulty entering into, operates just like this. And he adds this parable here. It's like a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. So this has got a vineyard. God's got a vineyard. Say, God's got a vineyard. He's hiring. Many are called to the vineyard. Few are chosen. Last shall be first. First shall be last. And when he'd agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour. So he sends them so that the day, even Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? He sends them out at 6 o'clock. And then he comes back in the third hour's 9, 10 o'clock area. And then he goes back out and he sends them in the sixth and the ninth hour. All throughout the day, he's sending them out. But then this last one, the 11th hour, say the 11th hour. It's kind of interesting. He calls it the 11th hour, but it's actually 11 hours have already been filled. It's the final hour, 5 to 6. It's actually the 12th hour. Even when he said the ninth hour really started at 10 o'clock, because he's speaking of what's been fulfilled. Just do the numbers. 6 to 7 is 1. 7 to 8 is 2. 8 to 9 is 3. 9 to 10 is 4. Say 12 hours. There's some apostolic going on in there. 12 thrones. 12 apostles. 12 hours, 12 tribes. God likes 12. Amen. So they go out at 11th hour. Now, 11th hour is from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Say 5 to 6. How'd you like to go out at 5 to 6? But notice what happens. They all go out. Then he starts paying them. Listen to this. He pays the guy that went out at 5 o'clock to work 1 hour the same amount that he paid the one that went out at 6 in the morning that worked all day. The same pay. Say the same pay. The guy that went out at 5 o'clock, he was like, amen. You go out, you get your work boots on, and the day's over. Have your cup of coffee or whatever you're going to drink in the afternoon. I mean, I didn't even get to break a sweat. That's great if you're the 5 o'clock hour guy. But the guy that goes out at 6, he had a big issue. And he brought it to the Lord. He said, look, you pay this guy the same wage that you're paying me. He said, yeah, but did we agree with that? He goes, yeah, but that's not the issue. The issue is he didn't have to work for it, and I did. In fact, he says, I borne the burden of the heat of the day. Does that sound like sweat of the brow? But they get to come out here and reap all this freely. They're not doing anything. I see two very distinct operations in one day. One, they're working hard. They're in a fallen system. And one goes out and reaps the whole day freely. That's a very hard thought to understand that God freely gives for which you bestowed no labor. I'm not talking about going out there working. I'm talking about the system you're working under. It's like Peter in that boat. It's the perfect example. He's in the boat. He works all night. He labors all night. He fishes all night. Kind of like Pastor Chuck. He didn't catch anything. Comes home, docks his... I had to do it. He bore the burden of the heat of the night. And then the Lord, and he brought me with him. We jump in the boat. Same boat. Pastor, same fishing hole. But the blessing come on. And the Lord takes him out in the same boat. Different system now. But he did that for a very specific reason to show you. Same day, one travailing all night, catches nothing. One steps in the boat, fills it. One works, one grace. One sweat of the brow, one inheritance. He gives him 3.5 years worth of fish. That's why Peter fell. He said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Because he goes, when they hit the land, said, now follow me. This is for your family. It's taken care of. Let's go. That's inheritance. Say inheritance. Many times inheritance, God will pay for the thing up front. That's what a wealth transference is about. He pays for up front for what's about to happen in the earth. We are a generation of inheritance. We are not 6 o'clock in the morning generation coming into the foundation. You have to understand, they were coming out of works. They were coming out of the law. That's what he was talking about. He was trying to get that man out of the law. Those that go out at 6, it's a progression. It's like a timeline to shift from doing things the world's way to doing things God's way. From shifting from works, sweat of the brow, full of me, to I must decrease, he must increase to the full-blown kingdom of God. And to graduate, we go down that timeline of graduation. Because really, when we all get born again, we start at 6 a.m. We don't know anything about God. We know everything about the world, but we're saved. And we jump in. And as we learn wisdom, and we learn of grace, and we learn how to surrender, and we learn how to let go, and we learn how to be peeled like an onion, and then peeled again, as he's unraveling us and building himself, as Christ is growing up in us, we start going down the timeline. But God is looking for a generation that's full age. That's why he's releasing so much in the arena of grace, so much in the arena of revelation, so much in the arena of inheritance, because he's trying to bring his people to full age. Because there's an hour coming. It's only going to be an hour. It's going to be a short time, and God's going to make a short work, and he's going to quicken everything. And when that white horse gets unleashed to run, it's going to be full impact grace. Double portion grace. Say grace, grace. We are being prepared for a grace generation. That's why you're hearing everything you want. Everybody talking about grace. Listen, just because God raises up vessels doesn't mean they're not going to get it all right. But it's the message, grace. You've got to get out of the old into the new. Get out of Peter's boat. Get into God's boat. Shift. Move out of earthly jurisdictional ways. Move into kingdom. How hard it can a rich man? Most of the time he can't leave his stuff for 5 minutes. Too attached. He proved that because he couldn't let anything go. He said, if you can't let that go, how are you ever going to serve me? Too attached.
God's got to detach you from the world and attach you to the kingdom. And if you're not willing, you can be saved and you can go to heaven, but you're not going to see how the kingdom operates in the earth. Because you're not going to make it down a timeline. The timeline requires transformation. Grace is not something that just falls on you when you start operating the kingdom of God. You have to learn the ways of grace. Because grace competes with you. Or you compete with grace. You ever notice when God can get the surrender he's looking for, how hard it comes sometimes? When he finally gets it, we're seeing God pay off debts like, see, in the world, you pay for 30 years with God. You see that? But God's trying to get us down into this glorious 12th, you call it the 11th hour, but 5 to 6 is this 12th hour. It's this final, say final hour. We are a church for the final hour. Many are called, few are chosen. But this will be like no other hour in human history. This final hour, we're going to freely reap where we bestowed no labor in the natural. We're going to freely reap in the spirit. We're going to reap in the kingly fields. We're going to reap in the priestly fields. We're going to reap souls. There's a reaping coming. There's a preparation right now. I know it's long. But the reaping time is coming. He's going to call those who are being prepared. He's going to call you into the 5 o'clock hour. And you're going to reap more in this generation than all generations combined. The entire vineyard will get reaped in one generation. The entire vineyard's going to get reaped in 1 hour. 1 hour of human history that's coming. God's going to thrust the sickle with kings and priests that are full age of grace. Adorned in grace, and they're going to walk out into the fields, and they're going to reap. It'll be a grace, grace generation. The mountains will topple for a season. Every mountain will bow down before the army of the Lord. Before we're called home, there's this final hour of grace, and we're about to be called into the vineyard. We're being prepared for it. Now, we're in the vineyard. This is a different vineyard. We're in a vineyard of preparation. There's a vineyard of harvest coming where everything shifts. It shifts in kingly domain. It shifts in the priest. God's going to arm his kings. He's going to take his priesthood and make them kings. Him who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. He's going to take his priests, he's going to take his kings, and he's going to call them in at 5 o'clock and say, look, you're going to freely reap here where you bestowed no labor. You're not bestowing the labor of this day. You're riding on the labors of generation after generation after generation after generation has gone before you. You're going to operate in a glory and an anointing that's not like the previous generation. You're going to operate under inheritance. It's like Solomon. He inherited it all from David. Solomon did not work for that. He inherited it. David plowed the armies down. We have our David at the right hand of God. He's defeated our enemies. He's received the inheritance. And he's going to call his Solomons. He's going to call his priesthood forth. He's going to call his Solomons forth for the last hour. It's not going to be like anything we've ever experienced, the Lord said, in the wilderness. He's not trying to move a mountain year after year after year. It'll be an effortless anointing. Wherever you go, you will decree, and it'll happen for you. Wherever you go, the word of the Lord will go before you, and the crooked straight place will be made straight. Sickness and disease will bow. Poverty will bow. Sin will bow. Lost souls will come. It's 1 hour of human history like no other hour. And it's only for an hour. It's a season. We are that generation. We are not a generation that will walk at the sweat of the brow and plow, plow, plow. 6 in the morning, plowing. 7 in the morning, plowing. 8 in the morning, plowing. No! We're a generation that will come and reap what's been plowed, what's been planted. God will thrust in the sickle. The harvest will come forth. There will be fullness of supply, fullness of glory. And we're not far from this happening. We're not far from the key, the house of David, opening the final door. Him that has the key will open the final door. The Church of Philadelphia will release into the kingly operation. Whew. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's not a time to turn around. It's not a time to turn back. It's not a time to be distracted. It's a time to be prepared to go out. We want to graduate. I'll say it like this to the 5 o'clock hour. You want to be in the 5 o'clock hour. You want to be in the final hour of history. And you want to be clothed in glory, grace, and inheritance. And if that's not what you're listening to, you better start listening to the right stuff. Because this is the hour where God is clothing his people and getting them ready to inherit. Say inherit. More souls will be inherited in this generation than all generations combined. More fruit for the kingdom will be inherited in this generation than all generations combined. We are that generation. We're in it. Many are called to serve in the 5 o'clock hour. Few will be chosen because they won't be ready. They won't be ready because they're not seasoned in grace. And seasoned inheritance and seasoned in meat. It belongs to the full age. Say it belongs to the full age. If you're choking on filet, then keep eating it till you stop choking. Because you're not going to grow until you eat the right meat. Until it's normal for you. It's natural for you. Till it's panoramic, you can see it all. Father, grant us a calling into the 5 o'clock hour. Grant us a calling and a preparation of inheritance to reap. Think about this. I just heard the Lord tell you this before I close. He waited 30 years before God anointed him. And 3.5 years he got to run in that anointing. But he waited 30 for it, even the Son of God. Sometimes you try to measure your life in your preparation. You can't. You can't measure your life in preparation because preparation's methodical. It's slow, and it's all about getting you out of the way. It's all about unraveling the old and getting the new man established so God can put you where he puts you. And when he puts you there and sets the mantle of inheritance on you, all of a sudden, what you couldn't do in 30 years, you immediately start doing day one. All the promises. Anna and I constantly look at each other. It doesn't matter. We have promise. We are laden with promises. They used to be heavy. I used to talk about how hard it was to carry, but now they're a burden that's light. It's a yoke that's easy. Because you don't have to carry it. He'll carry it. But I have learned I have to stay very, very close to him. How many of you know that? I'm going to close here in a minute. How many of you know you don't stay close to him and you're carrying a lot, it'll get heavy just like that. The more you carry, the closer you got to be to him, because as soon as you get away from him, all that gets dumped on you. Because you're not, he's not carrying it, you are now. The further you get, the harder it gets. Every one of you been processing that. If you haven't, you will be. The more you want, the more you ask for, the more you carry, the closer you're going to have to be. And you'll know the key, as soon as you start getting away from him, all that stuff starts weighing down on you. That's how you know you're out of alignment. You're carrying and he's not. You better get back in alignment or it will crush you. And those that are hard-headed, it'll grind you to powder. God has an anointing. He's got a hammer for the hard-headed. Ouch! The king is coming! He's going to call us out in the 5 o'clock hour.
The funny thing is he's going to make more kings in this hour than any hour of human history. And they will operate in the ways of the kingdom of God. What the one king could not do, millions will do in this last hour. Where the one king failed, this whole generation will not fail. Our position is Benjamin. Our function is Judah. If you don't know what I just said, ask somebody around here. They'll explain it to you. Praise the Lord. Father, grant the 5 o'clock hour. Grant us access in. I see a door. Whoa, he just showed me something. He just showed me the eye of the needle was the door to the 5 o'clock hour. He said, it's through that eye. You must go through that eye to get to the 5 o'clock hour. It was the doorway in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.